Chapter 2, Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 16. Why don't you stand with me, please, as we honor God's word and the reading of it. And Luke chapter 2 and verse 8 says, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger." Our Heavenly Father, I pray this morning as we look into the story of Jesus' birth, that we would realize or get a glimpse of, or we'll never be able to totally understand the magnitude of this story, the life-changing message that it brings. I pray this morning you'd help us to understand your word, that we'd illustrate it well, that people would walk away from here with a working knowledge of who you are and the price that you've paid and the joy that we can have because of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Bless this time, please. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. William Edward Beterwolf was a preacher who lived from 1867 to 1934. After his conversion, he continued his education at Princeton and Erlangen and Berlin universities and at the Sorbonne in Paris. Beterwolf's first church was the Broadway Presbyterian Church of Logansport, Indiana, the state where he was born. Then he became a chaplain in the Spanish-American War and entered evangelism, a ministry he was to serve for 35 years. In conjunction with his evangelism, Dr. Beterwolf was associated with the world-renowned Winona Lake Bible Conference for 40 years. In 1929, he became pastor of the storied Royal Poinciana Chapel in Palm Beach, Florida, a position he held until his death. Beterwolf's ministry was mighty. Perhaps his greatest campaign was in Oil City, Pennsylvania. Now, you got to love a place called Oil City, Pennsylvania. In the bitter winter of 1914, thousands thronged the tabernacle. Twice it was enlarged. His messages were powerful. His kind of preaching brought men and women from every walk in life, coming in deep contrition for their sins. The mayor of the city, physicians, lawyers, and men from the factories, young people from the schools, and the whole city and county were mightily stirred in deep concern about the things of God. He had a message entitled, "If Christ Had Not Been Born, Then What?" Do you ever think about what life would be like if certain things had not taken place? Famous movie, Back to the Future, played by Michael J. Fox. He went back in time. The key character in that movie interfered with the meeting of his parents. And in doing so, they didn't fall in love and he was not going to be born. Think about what would happen if your parents had not met. Life gets changed by meetings, happenstance, circumstances. My life has been greatly changed in the years since high school, from God taking one wife to heaven, giving me another one. I have two children now. Had that not taken place, those kids would not be here. I've thought about those things. Guys, what if you'd never met your wife or vice versa? Now, don't get excited about that. I'm just saying that, you know. What if coffee had never been discovered? Oh, yeah. Now, see, that's the response I was looking for. Yes. How about hot dogs? You know? We were blessed yesterday to have the funeral service for Pat Bowden. What a great guy. The flowers here this morning are from that service. Just a wonderful service. Pat loves hot dogs. Him and I had a common bond in that. He'd talk about how the doctor would get after him about eating hot dogs. Well, I want to go on record. Now, this is not spirit-filled preaching for just a little bit. I want to go on record that Pat lived to be almost 88 years old. Hot dogs did not shorten his life. All right? I'm just here to tell you that I think we should eat more hot dogs. If we die happy. We're going to heaven. What happened if Lincoln had not freed the slaves? Or if the South had won the war? I've thought many times when we see all the terrorist things going on right now, and it's not getting better, it's getting worse, and we'll talk about some of that in this evening service. I hope you'll come back. But what happens if Jimmy Carter had taken the initiative to go over there and attack the Iranians and free our hostages like should have been done? I believe we are suffering the consequences now of not confronting our enemy back in 1979. And there is an endless list for you and I. You've heard me pray many times about the reality of is that you and I, 99, some of us are family. We would have met regardless. We can't stop it. We're family. However, for the most part, you and I know each other because of Jesus Christ. Amen. We would not have met otherwise. So in that vein, where would you and I be today if Cornerstone Baptist Church had never been started? We'd be somewhere. But this church has changed the direction of some of our lives. Regardless of what we think about ourselves, nothing would compare to the consequences that would take place if Jesus had not come. Just to throw out some things, our country would be entirely different if it existed at all. John Quincy Adams said, "The birthday of the nation is indissolubly linked with the birthday of the Savior and the forms of leading events in the progress of the gospel dispensation. The Declaration of Independence first organized the social compact of the foundation of the Redeemer's mission upon the earth and has laid the cornerstone of human government upon the first precepts of Christianity." Patrick Henry said, "It cannot be emphasized too strongly or too often that this great nation was founded not by religionists, but by Christians. Not on religions, but on the gospel of Jesus Christ." And obviously there are other dozens of historical quotes to cite, but suffice it to say that without the concepts of the Christian faith, our Constitution would have looked drastically different. And most probably would have been thrown on the ash heap of history a long time ago without the concepts, the precepts of the gospel and of Jesus Christ. Not just America, but the rest of the world would not have had the salt and light that the Christian faith has that has gone throughout the world as missionaries have left this country and gone everywhere to every nation, to every continent, preaching the gospel and changing the world from the United States of America. I'll be talking about some of that this evening. What few believers there would be without Christ would still be practicing Old Testament law and the sacrificial practices that took place before. They would still be looking for their Messiah, but 6,000 years later, he still wouldn't be here. That'd be a tough pill to swallow. Those believers would be waiting, but they'd have a hard time understanding if Jesus Christ had not come. I'm reminded of the story of the S-4 submarine that was sunk off the coast of Massachusetts in December of 1927. I'll read you the story. As dusk fell on the Saturday before Christmas in 1927, the Coast Guardsman stationed at Wood End in Provincetown noticed that the periscope of a Navy submarine breaking the surface of the water just in front of the cutter Paulding. Within minutes, the cutter had rammed the sub, which soon came to rest on the ocean floor 100 feet below. The Paulding's captain immediately sent out a distress call and lowered the lifeboats to pick up any survivors, but nothing appeared except a few air bubbles and an oil slick. For the next 6 hours, they struggled to hook the sides of the submarine with a grapple line, but when they finally succeeded, gale force winds snapped the line. The next morning, Navy rescue ships and divers arrived on the scene. Officers tried to determine if any sailors had survived the initial collision and if it would be possible to rescue them. Despite the strengthening winds and worsening seas, the rescuers managed to locate the sub, and a Navy diver dove down to it. He heard noise from inside, and it seemed as though at least some members of the crew were still alive. Tapping in Morse code on the hull, the diver asked how many. Six, came the answer from the forward torpedo room. The survivors estimated the oxygen on board would last about 48 hours. The naval officers running the rescue faced a dilemma. Should they attach an air hose to bring fresh air to the men trapped in the torpedo room, or should they pump air into the ballast tanks in hopes of floating the sub to the surface? Tragically, their decision to attach the hose to the tanks proved to be the wrong one. The ballast tanks were more severely damaged than first thought, and the rescuers watched in dismay as a stream of air bubbles leading out of the tanks came to the surface. The already stormy weather deteriorated further. It was no longer safe to send divers into the water. Using an oscillator attached to the hull of the S-4, the rescuers could communicate via Morse code with the survivors. The six men asked when they could hope to be rescued and received messages from their families. Coast Guard cordoned off the area and the officials waited for weather conditions to improve. By the time they did, it was too late. Around 6 a.m. on Tuesday morning, roughly 62 hours after the collision, the survivors sent a final heartbreaking message. Quote, "We understand." Those brave men came to the realization 3 days before Christmas in 1927 that their rescue was not coming. We understand. I want you to know, as helpless as those men were on that submarine, you and I would be just as helpless if Christ had not come. Our country would have been entirely different. We would not have been rescued from our sinful condition. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And some folks in this day and age, and for always have been, at times are changing, but nothing is different. When someone tells you, when someone tells a lost person they need to be saved, they're offended by that. What do you mean I need to be saved? I'm fine. Look at me. I'm doing okay. I got money in the bank. I'm healthy. I'm strong. What do you mean I need to be saved? Well, I need a Savior because I am a sinner. That isn't popular today. We want to talk about the goodness of people and the spark of inner goodness, and you're going to get better and better. And you know what, folks? We're not getting better and better. That is a lie right out of the pit of hell. They ought to see, I mean, just listening to the news yesterday, another shooting, another stabbing, someone pouring gasoline on folks. And that was just yesterday. Folks, we're not getting better. Evolutionists ought to see that you are believing a bunch of hooey. We are sinners that need a Savior. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Romans 5:12 says, "Wherefore is by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." Say that with me. All have sinned. That's me. That's you. That's every person you walk into, you see in life. We are all sinners. And boy, society is proving that big time. I don't care how good you are. But the beauty is, God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. See that baby that came on Christmas Day? is that same one that we celebrate on Easter when he died and rose again. He came and took our place because we are sinners. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I want to tell you this morning, if you've never trusted Christ as your personal Savior, he came for you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Good news. Good news. You can be saved from your sin. You can be rescued. Your submarine is not going to stay on the bottom of the ocean. There's a rescuer coming and you can be saved. But I'll tell you, without him, you're in desperate shape. A savior because I'm a sinner. A savior because I'm a wretch. My brother used to look at me, "You wretch." That was one of his favorite words, you know. Always joking. But Paul said in Romans chapter 7, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" Now, I'm not looking for hands this morning, but do you ever do something and know it was wrong and think, why do I do that? I do. I know this pious bunch here, you just don't struggle with those things. But, you know, it would be great. How great would Christianity be? Is when you trusted Christ as your Savior, the battle is over. Was it Flip Wilson or some comedian said, "I can handle anything but temptation"? Boy, isn't that the truth, huh? How great would it be if once we trusted Christ as our Savior, temptation was gone? All I want to do is good things, good things, good things. It doesn't happen that way. I want you to know sometimes you trust Christ as your Savior, and that idea, "I just feel like something good's about to happen," that's a bunch of hooey too. You know what? This life is hard. Sometimes bad things happen. You don't have anything to do with it. Sometimes bad things happen and you had everything to do with it. It's called self-inflicted storms. Now, I see it all the time. Couples, things falling apart. Folks in jail. Those are choices they made that were called self-inflicted. "Oh, wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" But you know what? God gives you the power. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. You can overcome sin. He gives you the ability to live this life. Many people will say, "Well, Stan, I'd get saved, but I can't live the way you do." Well, I can't without Christ. But once he comes in, he gives you the power to live this life, and it's incredible. But the struggle will continue on. But it's a fight worth fighting. You know, sometimes there's fights that need to be fought. Sometimes the enemy needs to be confronted. You know what? Sometimes the enemy is me. Sometimes the enemy is you. And every now and then, don't be afraid to get disgusted with yourself. Ask God for forgiveness. Straighten up. Live right. Get over it. Stop it. Really. I've looked in the mirror more than once and looked and said, "Stan, you're pathetic." Now, you can't tell me that, but I can tell me that. Savior, because I'm a sinner. Savior, because I'm a wretch. Savior, so that I could live. You don't understand how much God loves you. Everybody wants a loving Father. How could a loving God allow this, allow that? Let me tell you, he's moving the pieces in your life so that he can get your attention. Sometimes he does that. Romans 2:4 says, "Know you not that the goodness of God leadeth you to repentance?" Every now and then I look around and say, you know what? Stan Griffin does not deserve the blessings I've experienced. Amen. The goodness of God gets your attention. Sometimes it's some perils in life that God gets your attention. Robbie Zacharias was preaching this morning about someone that contacted him from a hospital bed, said, "I've been listening to your tapes, and I'm a healthy guy, and I'm a young family, but I was playing baseball, and I broke my neck, and I'm paralyzed from the waist down. Where's your God now?" I don't know how that story ended. I didn't finish hearing it. I don't know if he told the end of the story. But the reality of it is, I hope God doesn't need to break your neck to get your attention, but I'll tell you what, God needs to get your attention. Because if you died with a broken neck and went to heaven, that's a whole lot better than living 100 years healthy and going to hell. You can say, "Oh, Stan, that's not very loving." God loves you. And listen, what he has planned for us, the splendor of heaven, the joy after this life. Folks, this is just a little 100-yard dash compared to heaven. This is just such a short thing. That saying you've heard me use so many times that Life is short, death is sure. Sin the cause, Christ the cure. This life is short, folks. Pat lived to be almost 88. Everybody said, wow, that's a long life. Ugh. That's just a blink of an eye compared to eternity. Don't you get all caught up in this life. God came because I'm a sinner and I'm a wretch. I need a Savior. But He also came so that I could have a joyful life. I'm come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. I want you to know right now in Christ, I don't care what your circumstances are, in Christ, you're living better. No offense to anybody I'm going to list, but you're living better than Bill Gates or J. Paul Getty or anybody with any kind of money. If Hollywood and joy and fun and money brought so much happiness, why is that crowd so suicidal? Why is it all that stuff hasn't made them happy? Because they're still living in trespasses and sins. They're walking dead men and they need Christ in their life. Now I'm telling you, once they met Him, now look, I don't have a lot, but I'll tell you what. Should I say this? I will. I'm insanely happy. Now, people will say, yeah, the first part's right. You're insane, all right. God has blessed me. Life with Christ is worth it. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. I needed a Savior because I'm a sinner, I'm a wretch, so that I could live a happy life, so that I could love. You don't know love until you know God. And if you don't know God, you don't know love. And I'm not trying to play words here or anything. Lost people are out there and they are trying to love. And they make a stab at it. Sometimes it seems somewhat successful, but I'm telling you, the only way you can truly know love is to know God. Love can't be manufactured between the sheets. Love can't be bought or purchased. Love is not just a gleeful feeling of someone you get to be with. Love is a deep emotional touch that only God can give you. And once you've experienced it, there is no synthetic. There is no process that it can be duplicated. It's either God-given love or you don't have it at all. That's what you've got to understand. And the world is trying to find love. In the old country song, I was looking for love in all the wrong places, looking for love in too many faces, searching, trying, all the things that they talk about. Well, I'll tell you where you can find love. You find it when you trust Christ as your Savior, and God puts love in your heart. That's why we need a Savior. I talk to folks every now and then. You know, there are some families that don't have family reunions. They can't. They get together and it turns into literally a fist fight. I'm not kidding. They have a knockdown drag out. They don't get together. They say, preacher, we couldn't get together. We don't get along. Really? I'll tell you what, folks. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples if you have love one towards another. If you've got a family member or something you're not getting along with, now I don't understand that whole process. But something is horribly missing. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. You know what, folks? We live a wonderful life because Jesus did come, the Savior who is Christ the Lord. Heavenly Father, I hope that what I have shared this morning, the joy of the message, is experienced in every heart of every person here. You said in Ephesians chapter 2, we were dead in trespasses and sins. But by your mercy, you saved us. Lord, thank you for your mercy. Thank you that you cared to come. And at Christmas time, we sing all those Christmas songs. And we're celebrating the fact that you were here. You lived. You gave your life. You died. You rose again to take my place because I'm a sinner that had no chance of helping myself. Just as those poor men on that submarine died realizing they couldn't be rescued, There is no chance that anyone here needs to die thinking they can't be rescued. They can be. A Savior has come. Christ the Lord. With heads bowed and eyes closed, nobody looking around this morning, have you trusted Christ as your Savior? Have you experienced the joy that I'm talking about this morning? Have you prayed and invited Him into your life? He's not coming in without an invitation. The Bible says He stands at the door and knock. If any man will hear My voice and open the door, I'll come in. You have to open the door. He's knocking on your heart this morning saying, can I please come in? I want to be your Savior, your Lord, your God, your King. If you've never done that, then you need to say these words this morning. You need to, number one, it's as easy as ABC. Admit that you're a sinner. We all know we are. B, you need to believe that Jesus died and rose again. We know that He did. And then you just need to confess your sins and call on Him. C, recognize that He is the only one. He said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes unto the Father but by Me. Jesus is the only way. He's not a way, He's the way. Don't let someone tell you different. So let's pray together quietly but out loud. You repeat after me. Dear Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Savior. Forgive my sins. I believe in You. Help me to trust You. Thank You for hearing my prayer. In Jesus' name.